Good day, and welcome to a special edition of Sounds from the Ziggurat. You may be familiar with my podcast on the Brighton music scene and its changing landscape of the past 15 to 20 years, and if you have been listening to that, then thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Despite having an idea for the podcast for a while, it finally got into gear as a coping mechanism to a rather stressful series of events, and it turned out to be therapeutic, engaging, and most importantly, a lot of fun. This special edition was actually supposed to be a video version of the podcast. I even filmed some nonsense of me in front of a green screen, in sunglasses, and a Hawaiian shirt for that extra kooky YouTube feel. But alas, it's taken me too long to get money together to fix my laptop, and although I've had kind offers of help from friends, I have decided to keep this an audio production, so I can move on and save dwelling on it for much longer. Whilst I do have series 2 of the regular Sounds from the Ziggurat podcast planned and in the pipeline, I've always wanted to explore some other avenues of sound, highlighting some other artists I've discovered via the YouTubes, further corners of the internet, or by simply sharing a stage with them. We are lucky enough to live in an age where so much music is right there on the tap of a keyboard or scroll of the smartphone. Or if you're tremendously old school like myself, the resurgence of the record player. I've only recently signed up to Spotify due to their 99p for 3 months trial package, and I must say, it is pretty cool. I was fearful of these sorts of services for a while, as I like to buy my music and hold the package in my hands. However, the importance of being able to vet what I may end up purchasing in this time of low financial income has been extremely valuable. Before these streaming services existed as they do today, there was an early version of YouTube, full to the brim with cute cats and extreme fail videos, distorted, ear-piercing concert footage shot on a potato, and talent show nonsense. It was here that I discovered Canadian artist Danielle Frick. I started getting addicted to YouTube about 10 years ago. I was living in a shared house and often confined myself to the spare room I had managed to turn into a small but admirable studio. In between watching live concerts and documentaries on who did or didn't do 9/11, I found myself drawn more and more to solo singer-songwriters and the way they interpreted other people's songs. This was in part down to the desire to find my own voice. My rock metal band Infurium was on shaky ground following the earlier departure of our bass player Chris, and the need to branch out and do my own thing was becoming increasingly important. I couldn't mimic the bands I was into. I certainly couldn't sing like James Hetfield. So I started to seek out artists that sang with softer voices and occasionally higher ranges. Even though I would dare to sing in front of no one, I started to feel some comfort in finding amateur musicians sitting in their bedrooms with a webcam and an acoustic guitar. What I mean is that there was an honesty and vulnerability in people that was seldom seen on the usual TV channels, full of manufactured pop and talent contests. I also felt great inspiration that a lot of these artists were just doing their own thing, without an obvious hidden agenda of seeking fame and fortune. They just liked to play. I can only speak from my own perspective, but this is what I feel has changed in our Brighton scene over the past 15 years. The opportunity to perform is sometimes taken for granted, and there are far more business people playing music, rather than those musicians who simply enjoy the ride. I won't be surprised if venues are struggling to get audiences through the door for acoustic gigs, if the artists playing them can't even be bothered to stay for the whole show themselves, or have 6 other gigs and 3 open mics to attend in the same evening. This on top of other factors like the smoking ban and needing to remortgage property to afford a drink are also to blame, in my opinion. I came across Danielle through one of my Sunday afternoon YouTube sessions. For those that have similar experiences, you know how it is. You search for a song, get suggestions from YouTube of what to watch next, follow that with another suggestion, and before you know it, days have passed and you've watched 1,000 videos and your workplace has reported you as a missing person. Danielle's calm voice and intimate guitar playing really captivated me, and I became a fan on the spot. I've witnessed Danielle grow as an artist over the following years, and she has continued to release a high standard of engaging material and visual accompaniments as a solo artist or her short-lived band Snow Mantled Love. Making music for over 10 years, there's always a very distinct visual aspect to Danielle's work. Drawing inspiration from the audio within the material, exploring old collections of photographs, or perhaps creating new ones from scratch. I would like to point out that Danielle, if you ever come to Brighton, look up a shop called Snooper's Paradise. I have a feeling you will appreciate the treasure trove of memories within its walls. Despite experiencing entitlement from some people when it comes to releasing music on YouTube, Danielle, like myself, enjoys the fact we have platforms we can put our music on that are easily accessible to others and ourselves. I personally think Bandcamp was one of the greatest for this. You could see the artwork, listen to the lyrics, and listen to a whole album as intended. In the future, Danielle is set to release more music and hopefully play some shows here in the UK where she now resides. Let me know if you need any support. For more information on Danielle, please visit danielle-frick.com. This track is called The Well from her 2016 release, Moon. Spy from Moscow and Rise of the Ziggurat had both been invited to play a charity show in Worthing's Bar 42. Bar 42 is an awesomely independent venue and music bar, showcasing local talent and musicians from further afield too. Recent renovations have really improved the place as well, adding better toilets and a larger stage area. I've played here a few times and seen many a friend of the podcast play here too, such acts as Poco Tiger, White Bus and Rapscallion. This particular show should have involved one of the organisers taking part in a sponsored head shaving, although for one reason or another, I believe that aspect of the night was moved to a later date. I'm not sure where. Anyway, Spy from Moscow took the stage and instantly captivated the audience with his powerful yet sensitive voice and intricate eerie guitar work. We got talking during the gig and have since been able to share a few stages at various venues in Brighton and Worthing. Despite our friendship primarily being based on pints of Guinness, our love of Liverpool Football Club and the trading of memes via Facebook Messenger. The Spy from Moscow project has been alive for 6 years at the time of writing. Declan's songs are a personal account of past life events, decisions made and actions regretted, using military metaphors as a primary source of expression throughout his lyrical prowess. Above all this is the honesty behind the lyrics and taking pride through the fear of releasing something so vulnerable. I had the pleasure of once again supporting Declan on the Brighton stop of his and Secondhand Poets UK tour. Please go and check out his YouTube channel, which you can find through spyfrommoscow.com, and check out his other releases at soundcloud.com/spyfrommoscow. This year saw the release of his new single, a beautiful and captivating vocal performance, a picked clean guitar progression with strings and lustful ambience. This is The Priests of London Fields.
Priest of London Fields.
Go and say hello at facebook.com/spyfrommoscowmusic. And also keep a lookout for Dex's other projects, the groove grunge low-edge duo Good Police, at soundcloud.com/goodpolicemusic. Also, check out You Break You By, a math rock band in which Declan contributed vocals to, on a track called All Together Better. I first met Tom Shillito at a gig orchestrated by local hero Simon Parker. As I've mentioned on previous podcasts, Simon ran the fabulous Cable Club nights that first started off at the highly regarded Pressure Point Music venue, moving it on to the Prince Albert after its demise a few years back. Infuriian Ad and I were asked to support a touring Metallica tribute band, to which we jumped at the chance to take part in. The irregular thing about this tribute band is that it was instrumental, and the only instruments the two ladies used were harps. Harptalica were brilliant, performing some of Metallica's best commercial work. There were no deep cuts here, as far as I recall, but there didn't need to be. The wide grins on the faces of the crowd were enough to know we were witnessing something special. Ad and I went down with Harptalica well, and aside from some awkwardness regarding our anti-American government song, Only in America, it was a really special night, which became extra special for another reason too. By the way, you can find videos of this night on YouTube from footage captured by my mum. A couple of these videos have many more thousands of hits than anything I've ever produced, so hold on, mum. A chap approached Ad and I separately after the gig had finished. He was new in town, and it took me a few seconds to adapt to his unusual accent. Although my memory of the encounter is a little hazy, for a change, Tom basically wanted to know whether we needed a drummer. At this time, I was still kidding myself that our band Infuriian may do something again in the future, so I shot Tom down straight away, explaining that we were fine in the rhythm department and that his services were not required. Ad, on the other hand, was a little more realistic and ended up exchanging numbers with Tom. Eventually, Tom did end up becoming our drummer in follow-up band Fairweather Heroes, the drummer in covers band Spunk, and most importantly, one of my best friends. It was over the next few years we were both developing to solo artists, providing each other with the encouragement and perseverance to get on stage and play our hearts out to people. Something we always wanted to do but had not yet developed the courage to pursue. Our very first foray to the solo stage was at the London Unity in Hanover, which has now sadly been turned into flats. The London Unity was one of the first pubs I ever went to with my pals after turning 18, and probably a little before that too. We would set out on a pub crawl of Hanover and cover acres of ground over the course of the evening. The London Unity stood out to me in these earlier years due to the fact I could buy a Capri's Curly Whirly to accompany my pint of ale. Tom and I moved on to Paul McKeown's open mic night at the Druid's Head in town, which became one of our regulars and most involved and fun open mics of the time. As far as I can remember, both of our first gigs were given to us by our mate Matt Bonner, who was putting on Tuesday night shows at the Cube Bar at the bottom of North Street. These were always fun to play, only set back by the unpredictability of the crowds and the increasing trend of some performers only being in it for themselves, showing no respect to the venue or promoter. Again, another reason I believe some venues struggle and nights ultimately die. Another highlight of our friendship was having the opportunity to hit the road and do a small tour of the UK. Born after a tipsy conversation in the Bear Pub, we had laid the groundwork for the hypothetical tour of Somewhere. Even though it only lasted a week, it's these sorts of situations that give you memories and anecdotes that last forever. Not many things come close to exploring new pastures and having the chance to perform to a fresh audience. We took matters into our own hands and orchestrated it from scratch, which was a highly satisfying endeavour and one I think about often. Meeting new people on the way and seeing friends and family come to support us on different parts of the journey was also an amazing feeling. Only downside is that I probably still owe the guys some petrol money. Although Tom performs solo acoustically, he is a rocker at heart with influences ranging between Thin Lizzy and Led Zeppelin, to Gallows to Anti-Flag. At the peak, though, we find Frank Turner, hardcore punk rocker who transitioned into an acoustic performer with inspiring, intelligent, and uplifting lyrical passages. The track I have to play is one I'm sure all gigging musicians can identify with. So much so, I've put the lyrics down in the description for you to sing along with at home. This is an anthem called The Headline Band.
drummers are very grateful because they let us use their drums, but we missed their set because we were out in restaurants with our mums. We're the headline band, our show will have you on your knees, but could I have some more of my voice in my monitors, please? Shout out to the second band, I didn't catch their name, but I thought that they were awesome and my mates all said the same. Those kids have got a future, yeah, I'm sure they will go far. At least they sounded good from where we were sitting downstairs in the bar. We're the headline band, our show will have you on your knees, but could I have some more of my voice in my monitors, please? Built up quite a following and it's growing every day. There's none of them here yet, like, but I'm sure they're on their way. At least we've got the hardcore fans who really think we're cool. That's the bassist's younger sister and her creepy mates from school. We're the headline band, our show will have you on your knees, but could I have some more of my voice in my monitors, please? There's lots of people leaving now, it's probably the heat. Cause even though it's quiet, I'd say we were going down a treat. I prefer a small crowd anyway, cause you really can connect. At least we could if they were listening and they weren't already wrecked. We're the headline band, our show will have you on your knees, but could I have some more of my voice in my monitors, please? Well, that was quite an evening, lads, a performance hard to match. A shame about the sound, though, it just wasn't up to scratch. I know we missed the sound check, but if the tech was worth his wage, he'd have fixed it so we didn't look like dickheads on stage. We're the headline band, our show will have you on your knees, but could I have some more of my voice in my monitors, please? And a tiny bit less bass, and quite a lot less snare. And if you add some more of my guitar, then we'd be nearly there. Oh, we're the headline band, our show will have you on your knees, but could I have some more of my voice in my monitors, please?
Thanks for tuning into this podcast. Because season 2 is taking me a while to organise, not helped by my dying Mac top, there may be more of these sorts of special edition interim shows in the meantime. Some of the artists and stories may have loose connections to the Brighton scene, but they will certainly have strong connections to me personally. So feel free to subscribe or unsubscribe as you see fit. I won't be offended. One final note, Ad and I run an open mic night every month at a venue in the Lewis Road area, and we need more performers. We're keeping an old school feel to it. The night is not designed to be a showcase, and you can only get a slot by popping down and requesting one on the day. So please give me a shout if you would like more information. So for that, or if you'd like to contact me in general, find me on Instagram under Rise of the Ziggurat, or pop me a message on here. Thanks for listening.